Today on Wings, women around the world have traditions for reuse and recycling, but modern consumption patterns spur them to organize.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Wings Radio Show. This is Smita Ramanathan with my colleague Manju Venkat from Bangalore, India.
Hello, dear listeners. You heard that? This is the cry of the recycling man, asking for people to sell him old paper, plastic, batteries, and what not. It is a commonly heard cry in most Indian towns and cities. He buys these from the households and sells them to agents who in turn sell them to recyclers. There is a well-established recycling industry in India that recycles plastics, old furniture, e-waste, clothes, shoes and many such items. However, as our consumption goes up, the recycling industry is no longer able to take in all the waste that is generated. Quite a bit of solid waste, therefore, now ends up in landfills.
I'm sure you remember a time from our childhood, Manju, right? When we practiced thrift and conservation?
Oh yes, when consumption was so little that there was very little waste.
Let us listen to Indu Ramesh talk about her childhood, which was some 7 decades ago. Indu Ramesh is a former director with India's public sector broadcaster, All India Radio. Hers is probably a familiar voice to regular listeners of Wings, for she has been a producer on Wings.
Mother used to make a chutney out of skin of cucumber, for example. That would be made into a chutney. I know my children and grandchildren think that we were all very poor, that's why we were doing it. But I don't think so. It was a question of being thrifty, using everything that could be used, no throwing away.
But then, that was in the past, and there's never going to be a yesterday once again. We have to deal with our today as best as we can. And the reality today is that we have a mounting garbage crisis in most of our cities.
India's apostle of non-violent struggle, Gandhi, was also a champion of sanitation. At the height of India's struggle for freedom from British, he had once declared that sanitation is more important than political independence. He was against the practice of manual scavenging, a practice where people from the lowest strata of society, the so-called lower castes, were made to do the odious task of cleaning human excreta from dry toilets. In order to break the practice of manual scavenging by only the lower castes, he took upon himself the responsibility of cleaning toilets, literally dirtying his hands, doing a job that no one wanted to do.
On today's show, we talked to a few women from Bangalore who have taken upon themselves the task of managing solid waste in their communities and neighborhoods, doing a job that no one wants to do. These are women who manage the waste in their own homes, in their apartment complexes and neighborhoods. They are also volunteers, entrepreneurs and champions, pushing the cause of effective solid waste management in this city.
Bangalore is a city of over 10 million people. Conservative estimates put the quantity of solid waste generated at around 4 to 5 tons in a day. The city's civic body, the Brihat Bengaluru Mahanagarapalike or BBMP, is responsible for managing and disposing of the waste. In spite of some facilities of segregation, composting of organic waste and recyclers, large quantities end up in landfills. These landfills are nothing but lands in villages surrounding Bangalore. This is where citizen initiatives off the grid gain importance. off the grid in this case, meaning citizens do not depend on the civic authorities to deal with their waste. They deal with and dispose of it themselves, sending zero or minimal waste to landfills. More than 25 years ago, when there was little awareness in India of waste segregation at source, Indu Ramesh started a waste management initiative in her apartment complex. She talks of how and why she started.
The builders had built the flats in an area in my city, Bangalore, which was not under the municipality. Every corner had a dustbin, but there was no proper management of waste collection. An organization called Waste Wives was doing this job in other places in the city. They helped me set up my own unit.
Waste Wives helped her set up a composting unit to compost organic waste, which is kitchen waste. And they connected her with recyclers who would buy the dry waste. She enlisted the help of 4 rag-picking boys who collected waste from about 100 households. They composted the wet waste in a compost pit and sold the dry waste to recyclers. The compost, too, was sold. Though it worked fairly well, she did face some protest initially.
Of course, I had to face some protest from ladies and also from men. Why are you worried about the waste? It goes out. Dogs eat the kitchen waste. So what are you worried about? But I persisted on this and I started collecting kitchen waste from about 100 flats. Then these boys would help me compost it in the compost pit. Fortunately, 25 years ago, there was not so much plastic to go into waste.
Households had to pay a collection charge each. This money, along with the money earned from selling the waste and compost, was used to pay the rag picker boys. On asking why the residents protested, Indu says,
waste as such is something that now somebody else has to worry about. I don't have to worry. In most of our South Indian houses, we sweep the floor, we wipe it with the wet cloth and all that. But most of the time in small villages and towns we have seen, the waste would just be outside the house. If there was a system of street cleaning or anything, that would also be cleaned by the municipality or the local government or something. But waste was always an outside matter. See, for me, waste is something I throw out. Why should I worry about it? Let somebody else manage it.
Indu acknowledges that today things have changed. There is greater awareness about the need for segregation and better management of the waste that we generate.
Savita Hiremat is a member of the Bangalore Solid Waste Management Roundtable, a citizens' forum that creates awareness about better waste management practices and lobbies with the government for effective policies. She worked as a journalist for more than 12 years and then taught in a journalism school. Today, she's a blogger writing on waste management, an entrepreneur offering solutions to apartment complexes, and leads the waste management effort in her own apartment. Let us listen to her.
We moved into this apartment in 2011. It's Shobha Althi and Azalea, located in Yelahanka, the north side of Bangalore. So when I came here, only two-way segregation was going on, that is wet and dry. And there was a composting system, but it wasn't working efficiently. But prior to this, I had lived in an apartment called the Brigade Regency in Malleshwaram. And that I was a very, very sincere segregator there. They were one of the first apartments in Bangalore to go off the grid. Yeah, they were doing their own composting, they were reselling dry waste, plastic paper and all that was being sent for as raw material to factories and all. And the third thing, only sanitary waste was being sent through BBMP.
BBMP is the acronym for Brihat Bengaluru Mahanagarapalike, the local term for the Greater Bangalore Municipal Corporation.
It is the civic body that is responsible for managing the city's waste. Savita continues.
And I complain like millions do, even today. I have my work to do. Why would I do this? You know, it is BBMP's job, not my job. I'm paying my taxes. All these things, But still, I didn't want to be one complaining.
And so, Savita agreed to help set up the waste management system in her apartment. This was in October 2012, when BBMP had passed its first legislation regarding waste management that mandated segregation of waste at source and composting of organic material at the site itself.
Initially, yes, I had for 1 or 2 days I had problems with that. I mean, how am I going to do this much? I was a working woman with a little child. And then since I had some knowledge about segregating waste, and I thought, let me just start.
Many apartment complexes started following these rules.
That law, when it came into force, we made use of that. We exploited it to the hilt and we told the community that, look, you know, this is the law and we have to follow it. And luckily, there was quite a responsive crowd here, barring 1 or 2 complaints. Everything fell in place within a week, but we didn't know what to do with the wet waste, all the organic waste that sort of piled up in one corner. Then, you know, whatever the system we had was inadequate. So I had to work with, I started doing experiments. I come from rural background and, you know, my parents do come from a farming community actually. But still, composting in an urban setting is a very, very different challenge. It's entirely different. You can't just use the same village methods here to do it. I did all that, you know, I thought that would work without having any prior knowledge.
Like,
lot of cow dung and, you know, layer it and all those things. Try to do vermicomposting using kitchen waste. All the 6 experiments failed spectacularly. And by then, already almost 18 months had passed in which, you know, I was bumping from one failed experiment to another. So basically, the everything is going on well there. Segregation is going on well. And here, there's this thing, loads of kitchen waste is coming. So experiment after experiment, you know, all these things were going on. Luckily, I finally got to work with one company and they needed raw material and space to conduct their experiment. So they asked for my help. I agreed and we together worked on it and it sort of became success.
There are now firms in Bangalore that offer waste management solutions to households, apartment complexes, as well as corporate and business houses. Savita talks about the categories of waste.
The most ideal way of segregation in India is 3-tier segregation is fine enough. One is wet waste, green waste rather. Mm-hmm. Your kitchen and garden, your boutique garden, wherever, anything that lived once can go in there. Mm-hmm. That can be composted, can go in
organic
there.
Waste or
organic, basically organic, biodegradable waste. Second comes dry waste is what we call it. It is basically paper, plastic, metal waste, e-waste, or fabric waste, whatever, all these things, whatever that can be recycled. That's the main thing. Whatever that can't be recycled will go into the third bin. That is basically sanitary bin. In that, of course, diapers and sanitary pads and all other, anything like, discarded medicines and condoms and hospital waste, medical waste from home, everything can go into the third reject bin, which should not be touched by another person. So that actually goes for incineration. So the first bin, green waste, can be composted. Dry waste can be sent for recycling. And the third reject bin has to go for incineration. That is the method. Luckily in India, unlike in Japan where there are those many categories, here what happens is the green waste and the reject waste are, you know, on their own. They don't need further, categorization. Further segregation, secondary segregation is not needed. But for the middle one, that is dry waste, you need secondary segregation. So what has been happening in all over in Bangalore or even elsewhere in India is it is the housekeepers who do the secondary segregation. Mm-hmm. So actually what happens is, in most of the apartments, whatever the money you get from selling dry waste, that is given back to the housekeepers as an incentive. So usually you don't see them mixing anything in the, during the secondary segregation.
So we see that taking a few very simple steps can go a long way in minimizing the waste we send out to landfills. Let us now listen to another champion of waste management, Soumya Raghavan. Soumya grew up in Delhi and came to Bangalore to do her PhD in biochemistry from one of India's premier research institutes. This was more than 20 years ago. She stayed on in Bangalore after her marriage. She worked at a postdoc, worked in a technology firm, and has been involved in issues of waste management now for more than 5 years. In 2012, there was an event on waste management in her apartment complex. Bangalore's waste management experts, such as N.S. Ramakant, Anjana Iyer, and a resident of her own apartment complex, talked about the importance of segregation.
So I attended this talk, and at the end of it, I remember coming away with, this is all there is to do, why are people not doing this? Why should this be so hard to do? So subsequently, I think in our community, we decided to follow those rules. We put up notices. But until around September of 2012, we didn't have much compliance inside the complex. So then I started talking to more friends and relatives, others in Bangalore, to find out how they went about it. Do they do this at all in their buildings? So then my sister-in-law, in fact, then told me that you should actually go door to door. It's not just because there is a notice on the board, people may not comply. You should actually talk to them more. That's when the switch happened in my head, is after which I thought that maybe a personal, you know, conveying of this idea that this is very easy to do and you should just do this at your home came to me. And then I called a committee member in the apartments then. And her name is Kritika. She said, okay, we'll go about this. And then we formed a team of volunteers. And each block, some of us took up and we went around. So that's when we started doing our waste segregation. And this was going on for a while. We did a fairly good job of it.
After many rounds of communication and also visits to other apartment complexes, including the one where Savita lives, Soumya and her team were able to arrive at a formula to compost their wet waste within their premises. They sent dry waste to a recycler and sanitary waste to a professional manager for incineration. The compost that they generate is used for the garden within their own complex. They also sell a portion of it. Recently, they have started composting leaf litter in the public parks outside their apartment complex. A majority of the waste generated at households is kitchen waste. By treating this at source, a large portion of waste being sent to landfills can be minimized.
When asked why it is that women play a large part in solid waste management, this is what Soumya had to say.
So at home, I guess it's pretty obvious. Most homemakers are women. So they set the routine and discipline in the house, and then from then on things take off. And a reason I feel many volunteers are women is also because this job of awareness, engaging with collectors, vendors and all, this kind of thing is a very non-corporate, what shall I say, it's a very informal sector. Sometimes it's a language thing, sometimes it's a timing thing, sometimes it's a number of times you engage with them to explain what to do. So I suspect, you know, people who have extra time to spare in the time that these staff usually work, they tend to do better. And also, I think in terms of household, most of the waste still is a very kitchen-driven phenomenon. And I think we are still very heavily female in all these activities at home. Although there is a lot more load sharing now, but it's still a very female-dominated, what shall I say, enterprise. So that's probably why I think there are more women. And I think the interpersonal relationship building is probably a little more female heavy skill. So women tend to engage better with the other sections. They tend to be more sensitive perhaps to their needs, and they would think, how would I do this if I were them?
Indu Ramesh shares Soumya's views that women are better communicators and organizers of community. Savita too feels that women play an important role in this sector.
Yes, I mean, whether it is the Solid Waste Management Roundtable, which I'm a member of, and whether it was in my community where we were doing, or in any other community, the number of entrepreneurs that are there in Bangalore or elsewhere have been, yes, predominantly women. This is my personal opinion, and I would say that, you know, it is they connect to these issues much better, much faster. But at the same time, I would not say that it is a homemaker's job or anything. Many of the women who have done it is while doing their attending to their profession. You know, they were playing a double role doing this. Yes, and many women came forward, even though they were working full time, they came forward to volunteer during the weekends. So there is something to be said about their sense of how they engage their very deep sensibilities to this cause.
Savita says that many men don't think that handling waste is their job. However, she observes that now there are many families that take this task seriously.
But in most cases, what I've seen is wherever there is any family that has actually put its thought into waste segregation, whole family participate. That's the beauty of it. So it sort of shatters many of the barricades, just the very act of segregating.
Savita talks about not just the gender aspect of waste management, but also the caste aspect, which cannot be overlooked in India. She talks of the Paurakarmikas, the city's civic workers contracted by the BBMP. They are engaged in street cleaning and waste collection. We asked what percentage of workers are women.
I don't have exactly the percentage of women that are there as Paurakarmikas, but I presume that it's at least more than 50%, one thing. But what I do know is mostly, almost 70-80% of them come from backward castes, mainly Dalits. Mm-hmm. So it is, finally, it is they who are keeping the entire city clean as much as possible. You know that they don't get paid on time, they have huge number of health issues. Despite all that, it is them who is keeping the city clean. Mm-hmm. So yeah, predominantly even that is being dominated by women. Yeah. For ages now, upper caste, whoever it may be, they don't think that it is their job to do to take care of their own garbage. Mentally, we already always have a Dalit standing behind us to clean up the muck that we leave behind, right? So it is still the same mindset that is continuing.
With such a mindset, convincing people to segregate garbage is rather difficult. However, segregation at source eases the burden on housekeeping staff and others handling waste.
Bare kitchen item separate. Amele adarnalli paper agli yenna waste yenna idre adu separate martivi. Amele
that was Shanti, a housekeeping staff at the apartment complex where Soumya lives. She has been working in this apartment for 19 years. She says that she sweeps and cleans the apartment complex, keeps the leaf litter separate. She collects waste from the individual flats and separates the different categories of dry waste.
ಯಾವ್ದು ಕಸ ಹೆಂಗೆಂಗೆ ಇರಬೇಕು ಡಿಬೇಟ್ ಮಾಡಿದ್ರೆ ನಮ್ಗೆ ಯಾವ್ದು ಒಳ್ಳೇದಂತ ಅನ್ಸುತ್ತೆ ಅದನ್ನ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕು.
ಸತ್ಯ, ಅನದರ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಕೀಪಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಟಾಫ್, ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಗಾರ್ಬೇಜ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಸೆಗ್ರಿಗೇಟೆಡ್, ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಈಸಿ ಫಾರ್ ದೆಮ್ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜ್ ಇಟ್. They find it easier to further segregate the dry waste into different categories.
ಕೆಲವೊಂದು ಮನೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಮಿಕ್ಸ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾರೆ, ಬೈ ಬೈ ಇದು ಎಲ್ಲ ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ಹಾಕಿರ್ತಾರೆ, ನಾವು ನೋಡಿ ತೆಗಿತೀವಿ ಅದನ್ನೆಲ್ಲ.
ಅದೇ ಹೇಗೆ ಅಂದರೆ ಏನು ಯಾವ ಥರ ಮಿಕ್ಸ್ ಮಾಡಿರ್ತಾರೆ?
ಇವ್ರಿಗೆ ಗೊತ್ತಿಲ್ಲದಿದ್ದು ಹುಡುಗರು ಡೇಟ್ ಆಗಿದ್ದು ಅದರಲ್ಲಿ ಹಾಕಿರ್ತಾರೆ.
ರತ್ನಮ್ಮ, ಅನದರ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಕೀಪರ್, ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಒಕೇಶನಲಿ ಸ್ಯಾನಿಟರಿ ವೇಸ್ಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆಟ್ ವೇಸ್ಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಮಿಕ್ಸ್ಡ್. For instance, sanitary pads get disposed in the wet waste bin. She thinks that these are mostly done by young girls who may not be aware of waste segregation. Then the housekeepers have to remove it. They say that they inform their supervisors and also talk to the households that do not comply.
In spite of these efforts, huge amounts of trash still end up in landfills. Savita talks of one such landfill. The one in Mavallipura village on the outskirts of Bangalore was fertile land to begin with, 99 acres of it. BBMP took it on lease and started dumping the entire city's waste there. After protests by locals, dumping stopped, But by this time, 4.4 million tons had already been dumped over a period of 10 years.
Extremely toxic waste is landfilled there, and it is there. And each time it rains, it's a nightmare to those people, because all the leachate, all that is actually building up inside, comes out in liquid form, and then, you know, it enters the groundwater table. And, it is basically, this landfill is actually sitting on a crest. And and there are nearly 16 villages surrounding that landfill. Because of this unhindered landfilling, what has happened is all the villages which had wonderful water table earlier, clean water, it's all now completely polluted. And because of water pollution, soil is also polluted, and whatever that grows on top of it. I tell you one thing. One of the farmers told me that before this landfilling, they used to spray pesticides on grape in their vineyards. They would spray pesticides for not more than 2 to 3 times for one crop. Now they are spraying it for 16 to 17 times. That is the level of damage the soil has taken.
Soumya is part of a group that promotes the use of reusable cloth and other such material instead of sanitary napkins. Her apartment complex has a cutlery bank, which people can hire out during functions and reduce the use of disposable cups and plates. A volunteer called Archana Prasad has designed a curriculum called Trashonomics, the economics of trash. They are in talks with the Department of Education to get this into the school curriculum. Soumya feels that much more needs to be done in terms of education, awareness building, and addressing individual houses, corporates, and hospitals, and other large-scale generators of waste.
I think it is the idea of managing, keeping, disposing, and seeing the end of something that you no longer want. So that is a little more involved than pushing, you know, everything under the carpet and calling your room clean. So there is, it's a little more, but there are people who have thought this through, who have made it simple enough for the 70 to 80% to simply follow. So I feel if there is good penalty and enforcement schedules, then it will work. We've seen that to some extent in our ward. Our health officials have been fairly strict in enforcing these rules. But there is still a long way to go.
A long way to go indeed. And many more engaged citizens travelling that distance together. With Manju Venkat, this is Smita Ramanathan saying goodbye from Bangalore, India. We thank Varun Venkat for editorial support. Thank you for listening.
To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Our new website is being rebuilt following a crash, but now you can find some of our most recent editions at wingsradio.org/WordPress. You can also follow daily postings of news about women around the world at facebook.com/wingsradio. Warm thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, WERU-FM, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose work can be found on the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.